Coming up on KUCB News, election coverage starts in earnest this week with the 2019 Candidates Forum, and Unalaskans are invited to share their stories at the upcoming Bering Sea Women's Conference. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, September 9th, 2019. Unalaska's local election is 3 weeks away. Voters will decide 3 seats on the city council as well as 2 spots on the school board. But before you head to the polls on October 1st, be sure to tune in for the 2019 Candidates Forum. KUCB will have your school board contenders live in the studio this Friday at noon to share their platforms and answer your questions. Then we'll have your city council candidates do the same on September 26th. You can listen to both events on 89.7 FM and Channel 8 TV. You can also submit your questions during the live programs, or even better, send them to us in advance. Give us a call at 581-1888 or email us candidates@kucb.org. This weekend, Unalaska will host the second annual Bering Sea Women's Conference. Organizer Beatrice Dietrich says the event is all about bringing together women to share their stories. Dietrich sat down with KUCB's Hope McKenney to explain.
Storytelling is a very powerful tool, and it can promote empathy, connectedness, and be very helpful for building strength in a community. And the idea was to focus more on involving various other communities outside of Unalaska as well. Not necessarily just people from communities along the Bering Sea either, but really reaching out to women in Alaska, women outside of Alaska, but kind of expanding the net of the conference.
Why overall is it important to bring women together in this space?
So somebody much smarter than myself could elaborate on the various trends that we're seeing with out-migration of women from rural Alaska communities, women leaving at pretty high numbers and not returning to rural Alaskan towns. And so having a conference directed specifically towards women, I think, is very important in establishing these connections and communities of women that will hopefully promote women to stay in these communities or come back to these communities, because we've got this infrastructure and this community of women that are really supportive, and women play a very vital role in any town, especially in rural Alaska, where everybody has a really important role and everybody's actions impact each other hugely. To have a conference like this to inspire people to tell their stories, to become involved in the community, to advocate for women's rights, human rights, you know, whatever interests them. Those are the kind of things that we see transpire after a conference like this. So, you know, that's why it's important to do these things.
And who's going to be speaking at this year's conference?
We have 3 amazing speakers that I'm so excited about. I'll talk a little bit about Candace Nielsen first. She is a resident of Cold Bay, and she's coming up on the Testamina that morning and leaving on the Testamina after the conference, so she'll be here very briefly. But Candace is an incredible woman. She has served on the city council in Cold Bay. She served as mayor for 2 years. Currently, she is the director of the public library there, and then she's working on a degree in rural development through University of Alaska Fairbanks. So she's a pretty impressive individual. Our next speaker is Michelle Terrio Boots, and she is a journalist in Alaska. She currently is a reporter for Anchorage Daily News, and she has 3 children, and she's a very busy individual and has so many fascinating stories that you can read online. she is so excited to come, and we're so excited to have her. The third speaker is Laurel Breitman, and Laurel has come through our community a few times working on various stories. She is a professor at Stanford Med School and a TED Fellow and a New York Times bestselling author and just a really engaging person.
Is there anything else that I should have asked you or you'd like to share?
I guess I do have one more thing to add. I really want to, again, thank all the people who have made this possible, all the volunteers, and then our other sponsors, Salmon Sisters, Optimera, The Grand Illusion, USAFE, and Unalaska Brew Co. So thank you all, and thank you so much, Hope, for having me today.
That was Beatrice Dietrich speaking with KUCB about the upcoming Bering Sea Women's Conference. It will start Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the Grand Aleutian Hotel and run until 4 in the afternoon. To register for the free conference, Unalaskans can call 321-5614 or go online at beringseawc.org. 9 months after Unalaska banned local stores from handing out plastic bags, Alaska's largest city is getting ready to do the same. Anchorage will implement its own bag ban this Sunday, September 15th. And as Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports, it's a change that residents, retailers, and restaurants will feel immediately.
Curtis Yim is a pretty calm guy. But maybe that's because the lunch rush just settled down at Ray's Place, a Vietnamese restaurant in Spinard Yim runs with his wife and family. They've been loosely tracking the bag ban since the start.
It's kind of a hassle at first, but everyone sees the benefits of it.
They've been getting information about the bag ban from news reports and word of mouth. Yim says nobody's exactly sure of all the specifics.
When we go to Fred Meyer's or Red Apple, we just see what they know and they said, yeah, it's sometime in September.
In addition to grocery and department stores, the measure affects lots of other businesses you might not expect. Restaurants like Ray's Place, for example, that hand over takeout containers full of soups and sauces. They're conveniently bundled in plastic bags that you don't mind tossing out. Yim says the restaurant will use paper bags for those orders, but as the new rule lays out, they'll be required to charge customers a small fee. Or, as an alternative, Ray's Place is selling reusable tote bags with their logo.
It's made out of nylon, and we asked for something that was durable.
When the Anchorage Assembly approved the ban last summer, everyone knew it would take some adjustment for retailers and customers. The Assembly even delayed implementation to give the business community more time to use up their inventory of single-use plastic bags. So now that it's around the corner, do people know what's coming?
I think some do, and I wouldn't be surprised if some don't.
Ira Slomsky-Pritz is a special assistant in the mayor's office and has been working on outreach ahead of the ban. That's involved partnering with local business groups to put out information. A bag swap event is in the works. The city also sent out volunteers to deliver flyers to local businesses advertising the change. There's a phone line and an email account where Slomsky-Pritz handles inquiries and clears up confusion.
Retailers won't be able to hand out plastic bags in the way they're handing them out now. But when retailers would normally use a plastic bag, now they'll just have to use a paper bag and charge 10 cents for paper bag, up to 50 cents for the whole transaction.
Those accumulated dimes from paper bag sales stay with the business. They can keep it, donate it, build little dime castles. Policy change leaves it up to them. If retailers don't comply, code enforcement officers will follow up on complaints and could level fines that get steeper after repeat offenses. There are plenty of exceptions written into the rules for things like meat products, flowers, postcards. Assemblymember John Weddleton says there are bound to be some headaches.
I think most Anchorage isn't ready, but they'll get ready in a hurry and the world won't end.
Weddleton is a small business owner. He runs a comic book shop called Bosco's and is interested in the nitty-gritty of how retailers will adjust to the new measure. That means little but important things like retraining clerks to ask if a customer needs a bag at the beginning of a sale so they can add the 10-cent charge before the end of the transaction. And even though he knows it'll inconvenience customers and residents for a while, Weddleton says that as the city tries to cut down on plastic waste, a little annoyance might be a good thing.
That's the whole idea behind it. You know, it will aggravate people like crazy, and they'll say, I'll teach you a lesson. I'll bring my own bag. Well, that's the win.
Weddleton says the measure is a good deal for businesses. They can stop giving something away for free. He estimates his store spends $3,000 to $5,000 a year on disposable bags. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And in the first ever primetime presidential forum on climate change, 10 Democratic candidates collectively devoted 7 hours to the issue last week. But according to transcripts, there was no substantive discussion of Alaska, even though the state is one of the most affected by global warming. That has left some Alaska Democrats underwhelmed. Andy Josephson is a state representative from Anchorage who has sponsored climate legislation.
It's disappointing in that what it tells us, and we sort of knew this, is that Alaska just isn't often on people's radar. It's 3 hours northwest by plane of Seattle, and people forget we're here.
Alaska's temperature has been warming twice as fast as the world's average and faster than any other state. That's according to last year's National Climate Assessment, which devoted an entire chapter to Alaska and described challenges including coastal erosion, thawing permafrost, and species die-offs. Democratic candidates for president did devote ample time to policies that would affect national and global carbon emissions, which could in turn affect the rate of warming in Alaska. Many of them endorsed the idea of carbon taxes or fees, while others propose banning the leasing of federal lands and offshore areas for fossil fuel production. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.